Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Welcome back, friends.
Patrons, I hope you enjoyed that little shit show.
Yeah. I literally look away for a second and looked up, and Cassie was like, had the look, like, we're recording, and I did not know. So it was just a whole thing.
Listen,
you can hear that.
It's been a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's definitely already been a day.
It has been a week already as well, and it's fair to say that, and it's a Tuesday when we're recording this, so...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, fun times.
Yeah. I don't even know. I know school, that...
School's about to start.
Yeah.
Hopefully life will feel more on track then.
I hope so, and I feel like even then it's going to take a while because you're going to hear us say, like, oh my gosh, school's back, and it's just so hectic, and... You know, all the things. So we'll just switch from we're busy this summer to we're busy this school year. Because
life feel busy.
Yeah, always. Always. So, I mean, I don't think, do we have anything? Do we need to shout out the class?
We need to shout out our patrons.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yes, we do.
It's a new month.
New month. New
shout out.
Yeah, I was gonna say new patron. So we have Jill
and Leslie
and Louise. Jazzy
and Louise.
Mm-hmm.
And Laurel.
Laurel. How many was that? Sorry, I kind of got distracted.
Five. I know.
I'm
I just
one. Who's the other one? Yes. Do we have one? There's six, isn't there?
Yeah. Laurel.
Okay, Leslie, Jillian, Laurel. Jazzy.
Rocky.
There it is. Okay. Right. Yep. Sorry, guys.
We're like totally prepared, you guys.
Yes. We are so prepared. So prepared. Yeah.
We do love you guys, despite what that may have sounded like. We greatly appreciate you. And we greatly appreciate all of our listeners, all of you who message us and, you know, share and all the stuff. Like, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes. It's so fun. And it gets me excited every time. Like, I fangirl when someone messages us, like, oh, yay, they like us. They wanted to, well, you know, like, it's fun. So definitely do that. Yeah. I mean, this week it's episode 69, which is insane to me. How is this possible? Like, it's funny because one of the cases I was going to cover, I was getting ready to do it. And then I was like, this sounds really familiar. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I think that you maybe covered it already. And then I was like, my mind is so like too many files open, mm-hmm. too many tabs open, because we've done so many of them that it's like to the point where it's not that I have forgotten which ones we've done, but like we have a lot, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then I couldn't remember about so many different ones too.
And there's so many shows. And because then I was like, no, maybe I don't think we covered it. I think I watched a documentary about it. Does the name Kelly Cochran, is that one that you did just offhand that sound familiar?
I'm fairly certain that name sounds so familiar.
Thank you. I know. And I didn't go back and look. Like, I did go back to look to see if you had done this state. I'm not covering that today just because I was not quite sure. But it was funny because it made me realize how many episodes we've actually done. You know what I mean? When you start to like...
And we keep saying we need to like make a spreadsheet of the cases we have done.
Which we do, but we just need to update it.
Oh, do we have one?
Yeah, I made one a long time ago and we started, and then it's just because once again, guys, life. There we go.
Well,
but I'm
going to
take a whole day and just correct. Yes, that too. I'm going to just update all the things, and it's just tough. I mean, and with new episodes every single week, it is hard to stay on top of things, but
yes. There we go.
You know, we're there. I mean, this week we're in Michigan. I can just start, I guess.
Yeah,
if you guys are all good
go
to go. I know. I don't know why we feel the need, like we have to have this long intro. We don't.
We don't. I'm sure some people absolutely hate that we do that sometimes.
Sure do. I know for a fact. My mom is always like, I'll ask her something. She's like, well, I didn't listen to it all. I just kind of stopped at that end part when you guys were talking about stuff. And I'm like, thanks. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. I totally covered Kelly Cochran. Not that long ago, too.
Oh, my gosh. When was it? Was that when we did female history?
Yeah.
Okay.
The female killers.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'm glad that I wasn't just insane in imagining that. So see, names do ring a bell. That's all I got to say then.
Okay,
I'm not covering her today because Cassie already did, turns out, in what month was that? March?
When April? Was Women's History? No. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It was an M
month.
It
was recently.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in Michigan, however, again, but we are in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Okay. I watched a documentary. I don't really recommend it. It was so cheesy, but I actually had to pay to like buy the episode on Amazon Prime. So I'm not sure where you could find it other than Amazon Prime, but the series is called Sins and Secrets. And it was season 3 and the episode was called Farmington Hills. So okay. In case you want to watch that, the reenactments just kill me. Like I just laugh, and the narrator was so bad. Like it was just a lot.
I know some of the shows when you're watching it, I'm like, who was like, yes, this is great.
We are. And then it's like, how did they describe it? In this once calm, tranquil, relaxing town where everyone knows everyone. And, you know, like, it was so bad. I was like, this is not like a book. We're not trying to like, we don't need to come up with every adjective we can to describe this place. So based off that, a little bit about Farmington Hills without being too cheesy was it's a suburb of Detroit, pretty much. They said it's like, you know, just American, all American. Everyone has a minivan, Cassie. And just kidding.
I have to send you the TikTok Leslie sent me.
Yeah.
About this woman having a minivan, and it's actually the exact same kind of minivan I got.
I do have to say, I was telling someone the other day, I was like, oh, my friend got a new car or vehicle, SUV, whatever. And then I told them what it was, and they were like, those are sweet. They do this and this. And they got all excited. I was like, well, I got to tell Cassie. She's super cool now because you have all the bells and whistles, apparently. I'm
so cool.
So that's
cool.
You could fit right into Farmington Hills, Cassie. And they said there was always a soccer game going on. And I know your son played soccer, plays soccer, will play soccer.
We're not doing soccer now. We're doing flag football instead.
Okay,
but
that's fine. So maybe there's football games going on. They said that this is ranked one of the wealthiest Midwest towns. I wish I lived there for that. No. They said the schools are really good. That's safe. The narrator called it dreamy. And I typed that up just because it made me laugh. A dreamy rich town. Yeah, I'm sure it is dreamy because everyone's dreaming of having money and living in these mansions. Like,
right.
They said that it's like, basically if you forget to mow your yard, that's like a crime in the town because it's very like,
of course, because
you know,
the people are nitpicky.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They said they described it as a very vanilla town. So I guess
I don't
do
think
what
I'd
you
fit
will
in
with
there.
That. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about, this is me being a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever you want to say. Bob and Nancy Seaman is their last name. And because I'm a child sometimes, that just made me giggle.
Yeah.
It is, however, spelled
and it's episode 69.
I know. It's me to comment about that too. And then I was like, Shannon, reel it back in. You are definitely 37 years old and not a child. But it's still funny. Am I right?
It is.
Episode 69, Bob Seaman. It's S-E-A-M-A-N, just for the record. I mean, it's not spelled
like they're a seaman.
Yeah. He is a seaman. Okay.
Like a Navy seaman.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about him and his wife, Nancy. So Bob was born and raised in St. Louis, but he moved to Detroit. I don't know, after college, high school, whatever. He got a really good job at Ford Motors. So he was an engineer there. And I guess they said he was just like a guy who went after what he wanted. So he was super successful, made a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, Ford Motors and you're an engineer there.
Yeah.
You got to be making a pretty penny.
Bob's doing good. So his passions, I mean, outside of working, were cars and baseball. So then kind of sidetracked, Nancy, she was born, what's her last name, is Deanna Frio was her maiden name. So she was born in Michigan, Lincoln Park, Michigan. She was super smart as well. So she graduated high school as valedictorian. So somehow after college, high school, I'm not sure the timeline, she actually goes to work also at Ford Motors Company. So in 1972, when she was working there as a secretary, that's when she met Bob. Okay. And they hit it off. He was older than her. And they said he was just always, you know, hitting on her and just kind of shooting the shit with her and trying to impress her, which is, you know, classic annoying. But she loved the attention. Like,
let's not lie.
If you're like working there and some successful guy high up in the company is giving you attention, like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So they start dating. And after about a year of dating, they actually get married. So they are just taking off there. And then in 1979, they have their first son, Jeff. And then 2 years later, they have another son, Greg. So kind of like I described Farmington Hills, they lived in a freaking nice ass house. They lived, you know, in a gated community. They lived quite the life of luxury. They had a 3-car garage, which one of them had a Ferrari in it. They had their own big boat. They had other nice cars, and they even had their own helicopter. Okay. So we're talking like, I mean, big money.
Their own helicopter?
Uh-huh. So yeah. Nice, okay. Right? Okay. I need to go work as a secretary at Ford Motors, apparently, and, you know, meet some, I guess if you're in it for the money.
I mean, listen.
That's not always the best, as we'll find out.
I don't know. I was going to say, maybe marry for money first and then love second. Just make sure there's no prenup.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, they grow up there. Their kids, I mean, they raise them there. The kids eventually graduate. And once they're kind of off on their own, Bob and Nancy decide it's time to focus on their own goals and dreams that they have. Because Nancy had just stayed home when, you know, and he went to work, which, like, yeah, okay, you probably don't really need to work. But that's kind of par for the course
in that time frame, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. And so she actually did have her master's degree, though, from after, you know, well, college and all that. And she was super smart. So she does decide that she wants to return to work. So she actually starts teaching as an elementary school teacher, and everyone just loved her. And she just looks the part totally. If you see the picture of her, it's like, oh, she's just this cute, young looking little lady that's fun teacher. So Bob, his dream, like we talked about how he liked baseball, he actually decided to leave the corporate world. That's a mouthful. Yeah. And he opened up his own batting cage, which is like his dream thing. And I guess it wasn't just your average batting cage where you just, you know, stick the token in and you get 15 pitches or whatever. It was like they had actual coaches there, like, helping them.
Okay.
And so it was more than just a batting cage from what it sounds like. You could have coaches there that would, like, personally train you and all the things. So that was his deal, whatever. So they pretty much were just, like, both living their own dreams. But, yeah. So fast forward to May 10th of 2004. Bob failed to show up to work at the batting cage. He had a scheduled practice with one of their clients, and he wasn't there, and everyone thought that was odd. So they report him missing right away. So I thought it was very interesting that normally when you report an adult missing specifically, they don't even do anything with it for
Like
a couple days, you know, like, give them time to come back. Well, in Farmington Hills, they sure as shit don't care. They went out and started looking immediately.
Rich white man.
He's a white. Yeah, I was gonna say, because he's a white man. And okay, so they immediately go to his home to do a welfare check. So they get there at like 9:30 p.m. that night. No one's home. It said they entered the home, which I don't know how they just entered it without a warrant or without, like, someone letting them in. And I might have missed some of this.
I think, don't quote me on this, but I think if you are called for a welfare check,
you can go in, isn't it? Because, like, if someone fell or something, and maybe it was unlocked. I don't know the whole situation. It was kind of vague on everything I read and the documentary I watched. It just said that they entered the home, but they could tell that someone had been sleeping on that couch, like, in their main room. So they kind of chalk it out to, like, domestic argument, like, he's in the doghouse, he must be sitting down on the couch. So then they think, well, if they had an argument, he probably just left to go calm down, which I'm like, that's a pretty big assumption just from finding a blanket and a pillow on a couch.
Right. Oh, they must have fought and she put him on the couch. But then, like, also, where is she?
Correct. And there was nothing, like, there's a whole bunch of time that's not accounted for that they are investigating. And so I looked in a few different things and I literally found the same thing on every, you know, thing that I read, which was funny too, because in 2004, I thought there would be more available, like, at least, because to me, though, when I think 2004, I still think like 10 years ago, it's like, we're not there anymore. So,
you know,
I don't know, but there could be a lack of information there. And so if I'm missing that, I apologize. However, so that was kind of the case with that. I don't know what they say to Nancy in those 2 days of time here that go by, because then 2 days later, they actually end up filing the missing persons report because his sons had both tried to reach him and they never got a hold of him. And so
is the cops, Nancy around?
Yeah, she had to have been. I don't know anywhere what, well, I mean, I'll tell you a little bit more about what she says here now, but okay. For those 2 days, they're like not accounted for. And I don't know if there's a reason for that or if the timelines are wrong with the information I found, because okay. You know how that, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to say she said she didn't know, probably the case considering they didn't really push it further at the time. And she must have not been that concerned. I don't know. So, you know, they come and look again now that they have this official report, and they ask Nancy if they can come in. She is home now. Can we come in and talk to you and look around and see if there's anything showing what might have happened to him? So they go in and they find hangers, like clothes hangers, all over the bedroom floor. So it kind of looked like Bob had left in a rush and he had grabbed a bunch of stuff because like a lot of his clothes were missing and they were just all over the floor. Nancy was kind of clueless. She had no idea why he would have left, but she said that she knew that there was an extortion case kind of with an ex-employee at the batting cage. And she thought that maybe he left to, I don't know, like deal with it. Or she thought there was maybe some foul play suspected with this
then
ex-employee.
Then why wasn't she the one to call the police?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of things in this case, and anyone who knows more about this case, I would love to hear the details, because it doesn't really cover, there's like a lot of time missing from this investigation. So first, okay, so she says that she thinks, you know, maybe there was foul play involved, she's not sure. So they of course look into that claim, and turns out like that was not even the situation at all. Comes to find out, it was like actually kind of like where Bob was a good guy in that situation. He found out one of his employees had been stealing money, and he basically was like, I won't press charges as long as you pay it back. Okay. So like that guy got off actually pretty good considering.
Yeah.
So like they're like, there's no way. So, I mean, and they talked to the guy involved in that, and there was nothing that pressed anything as far as
like he
him
had
being
something
involved
to do with it. Yeah.
So there's nothing going on there. So then they find out, you know, from talking to people at the batting cage, that Nancy was super jealous of Bob working so much because he was there all the time. And friends said that he was just literally working all the time and she was not happy about it. So there was a little bit of tension because of that. And because the more they look into that, they realize things are probably, they're not going that well between them and their marriage, given that he's sleeping on the couch, basically living on separate floors. It's like they had their own separate lives. And
you can't tell me their big ass house didn't have an extra bedroom for him to sleep in.
I know. And honestly, I was kind of surprised when it said a 3-car garage. I was like, that's it. Like when you have that much stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So, when they, you know, talk to Nancy about it all, they find out that basically, so in the spring of 2004, so, and this was May 10th that this, he was reported missing. Yeah. So not very long before this, they had kind of just stopped talking to each other and there was just so much tension. They would talk through notes, and they had pictures where he would leave like post-it notes around the house with stuff like he would put one on like a light switch that said electricity isn't free, despite what you think, turn the lights off. And then there was post-its. Yeah. There was post-its on like the phone that said, stop making long distance calls, and like just very petty, like very petty. And I was just like, are you serious right now? So they were in their 50s. I mean, early 50s at this point. So like, really? Okay. So then they, I don't know, the notes just escalated and it got worse. So, which I don't know why, but it said that Nancy then just stopped cooking for him, which I'm like, why the heck are you cooking for him anyway? If
right.
You guys are getting like, I hate you, but come have some spaghetti. Like, no.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I thought that was weird, but.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I would be like, if you're not going to talk to me, I'm not making you food.
No, absolutely not. So apparently her not cooking for him pissed him off. So in return, he stopped taking the trash out. So it just got gross and trash was piled up everywhere. And it was just not.
That's
and,
you know, an everybody that's, job. That affects everybody.
It totally does. I'm like, dude, if you want to live in your own filth, then that's on you, I guess. But
like, whatever. Also, couldn't she take the trash out sometimes mm-hmm. too?
Right. Yeah. And no. Yeah. It was just really petty. The whole thing sounded so petty. So, you know, they have these two sons and the sons like felt super bad. It was awkward, but they each kind of like took one of their parents' side. Because it kept escalating and they both didn't really know how to deal with it. So on May 9th of 2004, it was actually Mother's Day. Bob had been out of town visiting family and he returned that day. He had told his family while he was gone visiting them. I think they were in Arizona, but he had said that he was planning on getting a divorce, which I'm like, that's probably right, like, your next step here.
Yeah, if like, why wouldn't you? Like, if you're not going to try like marriage counseling right. or something like that, then that's probably for the best.
Yeah. And especially because I'm like, you guys aren't even talking. It's not like you're trying to like, no. So that was kind of the issue. So he tells her that he, you know, wants a divorce and there's a heated argument. She kind of like pushes him, throws her water at him. He kind of pushes her back. One of their sons was there and actually witnessed this whole thing. So they know that this actually did happen. And
she want a divorce too?
Right. Like maybe not because it's money, but at the same time, like she's working now. And she's working,
but she would also, she'd probably get alimony for how long they'd been married.
Right.
And you can like put it like, even if you don't have kids, like I've been become accustomed to a certain lifestyle and shit like that. Like she'd at least get half his shit probably.
Right. So I don't really know what their reason was for not doing that sooner. But yeah, so, I mean, that gets brought up to the police. And so, you know, when they talk about that, she says that honestly, like she didn't bring all that up initially. I think she was embarrassed because they were having issues and didn't want them to put the blame on her. She did something, but she says, you know, she thinks he's having a midlife crisis because all of this stuff is happening. And so she thinks he just like ran off, which I mean, seems to be true. He's kind of in that point where things are looking weird for them. So they follow up with his family in Arizona thinking maybe he went back down there and none of them have heard from him or seen him since he had been down there visiting.
Well, you think you think he'd have told his sons at least then, like
I know
where he was going.
Right. There's a lot of weird things where I think maybe there's almost so much information that some of these things I researched didn't have. You know what I mean? Like when there's so many little things that probably play into it. But so Nancy starts talking more too. And now she volunteers information that she thinks that Bob was actually having an affair with a mom from the batting cage. There was a family that went there and he was like really close with this family. They talked about how it was almost like his surrogate family. Like he was even close with like the husband, the dad of the kids. Like he just acted like he was part of their family, kind of a weird thing. So she thinks that, you know, that maybe this woman has something to do with it. And so, you know, the police talk to her too, and they think, well, maybe the husband is actually mad because there's a sexual relationship going on between, you know, his wife and Bob. And so maybe he did something. They talked to both of them and they had like airtight alibis. And they actually were the people that called and reported him missing initially because their son was the one having the batting cage practice or whatever. So
like, was he having an affair with her?
No.
Or was this speculation? Okay.
Speculation, you find out too then, because they talked to everyone there at the batting cage again and everyone's like, no. And even the wife was like, no, you know, she worked there, I guess, a little bit too, like part-time.
Gotcha.
Everybody there was like, no, it was definitely just a platonic like relationship. And they were close, like family. It was more of a family relationship.
Almost like almost grandfatherly to her kids
not
type
like,
thing. And
not that kind of dynamic. Yeah. Like, no, thanks. So that gets ruled out too. And so it's almost like Nancy's just like offering all these random options, like throwing things out there that you're kind of like, I don't know about you, Nancy.
It's like, that makes you sound more suspicious.
Yeah. Like stop and try. Like she's playing the victim on all accounts here, which I mean, we'll talk about all this more. So
find one story and stick to it.
Yeah.
Again,
like, don't
tell you
know
how to get away with murder, but
this is not how you get away with murder. So police continue their search and they decide they need to start looking at the house again, because they're kind of just like have nothing to go off of. So they go to the house. They realize that they hadn't really checked the garage, which why would you necessarily have to? I guess I don't know. And it never said anything.
His car was there,
right? It never says anything about his car being there, not being there. I know they had several vehicles, but still, wouldn't you look into that? Or wouldn't you see if they like, used right his away. Credit card?
Yeah,
and maybe they did look and they saw that, and they just didn't include this information in any of my research, which I also find very weird. If you're going to tell a story, you need all the details so people can pinpoint how they got to that conclusion, especially if you're going to be like charging someone with homicide.
Yeah.
And so they decide to check the garage, and they notice the garage is like squeaky clean. So the house was not clean, as we know. There was hangers everywhere, trash, like not clean. So why is this garage like super clean? Like it was to the point where it smelled clean. Oh. So they decide they need to like thoroughly search, and they, sorry, I'm reading my notes here and I clearly don't make sense sometimes, but they smell this bleach, like straight up bleach. So they start pulling up the tiles that were in the garage, and there is blood stained all under it. Because like, even when you clean the surface, that shit's like soaks through, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's blood all over. So they continue to keep pulling them up and finding more and more blood. And then as they look even closer, they can find tiny little spots of like blood spatter on the ceilings, on the walls, like just tiny little ones that clearly got missed for whoever cleaned. So they're like, whatever happened here was obviously like a messy situation because blood is all over. So after they, you know, are looking there, then I don't know why, once again, they don't look at other things, but I guess they don't necessarily have any reason to suspect anyone at this time. Like specifically, they don't have evidence to like search things, but there's a Ford Explorer, you know, parked in their driveway, which is actually Nancy's vehicle. So they're kind of just looking around outside of it, and they can see into the trunk, and it looks like there's like a cardboard piece kind of like covering a big wrapped package in the trunk. So
they kind of ask like, "Do you body in the trunk?"
Well, we'll see here, because she says there's nothing in there. It's boxes because I'm moving. I'm planning on moving, and it's just moving supplies. Okay. So that's great, but we need to go ahead and check that. So they ask her to pop the trunk. She's super reluctant. They pop the trunk. Immediately upon opening the trunk, the smell of death, they said, literally overwhelmed them. They look into this. They lift this cardboard, and underneath there, they find Bob's body wrapped in a large tarp with duct tape, like all around it. And this is in the back of her car. So his body was in a state of decomposition that revealed that he had been dead for at least a couple days. And in a hot, you know, car. So, So it's also very obvious by just looking at his body that he had been struck with a hatchet several times, including in his face, at least over a dozen times. And then they also find in the tarp wrapped with his body, a knife, like a kitchen knife, which is caked in blood. And they find out too that he had actually been stabbed in the back at least two dozen times. Along with the whole hatchet
thing.
Well,
that's some anger.
That's what I thought. Well, that's a crime of passion if I ever heard one. So immediately Nancy's like, okay, no, here, I'll tell you what happened. Yes, I did it, but it was self-defense. Like, super, like, has a story.
It's not self-defense if it's in the back and that many times with multiple weapons.
It was self-defense, she says, and that she killed him before he could kill her. So backtracking, sort of, they look into the marriage of them a little bit closer. Because they know that they weren't getting along, but like, there's never really been violence other than that one time they had kind of that heated argument on Mother's Day. But Nancy starts telling them that he was actually super abusive to her. So this is where I have like, then I kind of, you're like, who actually is the victim here? Because it gets kind of like a little messy. So she said that the first time that Bob abused her was when he was drunk and they were in their car and he tried to push her out of a moving car. Yeah. She said there was also several other incidents when Bob would shove her. She said that's what he liked to do. He would shove her and push her into walls. He would grab her arms, twist her arms, and throw her against the wall and leave bruises all over her. And sometimes he would even knock her down to the ground. So, and I don't want to say, why would you not go to the police? Because we know how this is.
I'm just questioning, like, has this been throughout their whole marriage? Because then there's no way the kids wouldn't have known.
Right. Well, Greg, I think he's the younger son. He said that all of this is true and that he did watch his father both physically and mentally abuse their mother.
Okay.
Jeff, on the other hand, the older son, who also sided with the dad all along, said, no, my dad never did any of that. Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. So here you go. You got two different stories that go right against each other. It's like they just almost cancel each other out, you know? Yeah. Like, so that was her backstory on the fact of being abused. And so she said because it was self-defense, that's why she killed him, because he was going to kill her first. But police say that, you know, based on the evidence, they think that it was actually the other way around and that Nancy had attacked Bob. They think that she ambushed him in the kitchen with an axe and dragged him into the garage and then stabbed him with a knife and beat him with the hatchet, like the end of the hatchet.
The handle.
Yeah. Like bludgeoned him with it. In my notes, I put crime of passion much, because we just talked about that.
Yeah.
But the police believe that this is what happened based off all the evidence that they find and the way that he was killed, which I'm like, okay, even if it wasn't self-defense, though, I'm like, is this a woman who has been beat down over and over?
And then so finally many times snapped. Like, I put up with all of this for this long, and now you're going to leave me? And like,
right.
I guess maybe if he was like, you're not going to get a dime and all of this stuff. Yeah.
Who knows what actually happened?
I mean, it's hard to say.
In their conversation, because nobody was there. So it's like, well. And they also, though, said that they have this evidence to support that this is what happened and that she planned it. Because a day before Bob is killed, you actually see Home Depot surveillance cams showing Nancy purchasing a hatchet. I'm like, oh, that's where you went wrong, Nancy. She said, though, that she had bought this to cut down a tree stump in their front yard, which I'm like, that is fair. This could just be a complete coincidence at the same time, but like a, you know,
I mean,
crime of opportunity situation or weapon of opportunity. But
you also have the money to hire someone to cut down said tree.
And also the next day, Nancy goes back to Home Depot and she purchases duct tape, tarp, bleach, and other cleaning products. She even goes to Home Depot a third time and steals a hatchet, then attempts to return it with the receipt from the purchase of the first hatchet. You see what she did there?
Yeah. I mean, she kind of...
She tried to cover it, but, like, there's surveillance, and she should know they're going to look at that. But, yeah. So, after this, it's actually 2 days after the murder that they... I mean, suspect he was murdered, I guess. She's officially charged with first-degree murder. She pleads not guilty. So the police, though, looking into this are kind of like, is there any way this woman could have done this by herself? She, like, weighed 110 pounds. She's tiny.
That's my thing. Like, how was she lifting him up into her car?
And there's no criminal record. Like, I mean, she has no criminal record, clearly. Yeah. Like, it's very unlikely this big guy, she did all that and didn't. I don't know. We don't actually ever find out on that. But they, you know, of course, then they think, well, maybe the sons did have something to do with it. So they look at both of the kids, and they both witnessed that they had seen their parents' marriage like falling apart. And Jeff was on his dad's side. Greg was on mom's side, like I said before. But Greg was like so tight with his mom. He didn't even talk to his dad. After they started having all these issues, he completely cut off contact with his dad. So then they're like, well, does he have a lot of anger towards his dad? Could that have propelled him to do this? But his alibi was airtight too. He was like in Florida. Like there was no way he could have done it. Mm. So they're like, okay, well, would Jeff have done this? But Jeff was on his dad's side and really was kind of quick to throw his mom under the bus. But Jeff was a big guy. So they thought, well, maybe. And it's, I mean, ironic that he was the one that saw them last fight on Mother's Day. And with his size, you know, he could have. But before they really even look into that, Nancy says she has a confession. So she finally says, okay, this is what actually happened. And she said that Bob had been beating her and she killed him in self-defense. So she said that she lived in fear of him and he had wanted to, or she wanted to leave him for years, but she didn't have enough courage to leave, which we hear that a lot.
Yeah.
So that's fair. But now, you know, she said she gets a job. She felt like she brought something important to the table. She felt like she had value. It gave her more self-confidence and financial needs if she really wanted to leave him. So she was in the works of making plans to leave him. She had found like a condo clear across town somewhere that she had planned to move to, and she wasn't going to tell him. She said he would come after her if he knew where it was, which I'm like, well, then like, that's a pretty easy thing to find regardless. I mean, I don't know if she was trying to do it under different names or what, if she thought just physically getting out of there would be safer. But she said that he must have found out somehow about this condo. And so that morning they had this heated argument and he was not happy and basically told her like, you're not going to leave me. You know, I'm sure it's a show thing for him too. He doesn't want it to look bad that his wife left him. So she said that they argued that morning on May 10th about her moving out. And she said that Bob was so enraged that he got a kitchen knife and he started chasing her into the garage. So she says that he gets a hold of her foot and she saw the hatchet in the garage as he was grabbing her. And she said she blindly just started swinging it to get him off of her. She said she remembered making contact with the first swing, but then she just kind of blacked out and doesn't remember much. And she said she just kept doing it and doing it. And then after that, she said she was just in such a, like, you know, rage. She grabbed the knife then, and then she just started stabbing him with it because she was afraid he was going to get back up.
Yeah.
And she said she was completely panicked. And after it was done, she just stood there because she couldn't believe what had actually happened. And she said just in a panic, she drug his body to this car, which wouldn't there be signs of that on the ground too? You would think, unless that was part of the blood on the garage floor.
Right.
But I mean, because with that kind of crime, like there has to be a ton of blood, you would think.
Well, and if they said they thought it started in the kitchen and if they were kind of in the entryway from the garage to the kitchen, I mean, it could be they thought that because they saw bloody drag marks or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I mean, it could be, as she says, it could have been him trying to get away.
Yeah. I know. It's really hard to know in these situations because you're like, it's her word against his and he doesn't have a word.
Yeah.
You know? So she said she put his body in her car. She cleaned the garage and she wasn't sure if she should call and tell the police or not because she was just like, you know, in shock. So she thought it would be good for her just to continue living like daily normal life, like work. Like she couldn't find a sub to cover her class. So she went to work and I guess she drove around with his body in the back of her car for a couple days.
I was like, please tell me she took one of the other cars. Yeah. Okay. Nope.
No. Where I'm just like, once again, Nancy, why? And you can't tell me that smells good, but
right. Okay. And you can't tell me you then didn't smell after spending however long in your car.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those things that they're like, they're not even sure if this is true because they still think like, how could she have done this by herself? But in the moment, we've talked about this, when you have that much adrenaline. Sometimes yeah. you surprise yourself with your strength. You
know? I don't doubt that she could have killed him on her own, but I guess yeah. depending on how big he was and stuff like right. that, like, because you said she had like an SUV or Ford Explorer or something, mm-hmm. right? Like that, right? Like those are yep. fairly high off high the ground.
Up. Yes.
And so like dragging him is one thing. If to me, the part that seems like it's doable, but I feel like it would have been really difficult was her getting him into the back of her car.
Right. Did she wrap him and then put him in? I guess she would have had to almost.
She would have had to have, but then like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Did you do some weird finagling of like leaning him, like sitting him up and leaning him
did
and
you
then
have
pushing
a ring
him and
or
like
something
like.
I don't know. Do you have a wheelbarrow? Like, but even then you'd still have to hoist him up. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying like, depending on how big she was herself and everything, like it's all doable potentially.
Yeah.
Like I said, her killing him that violently and stuff. Yeah. If you're in a rage or you're in a fight or flight mode and you're fearing for your life, whether that's true or not, like, rage or whether it was the fearing for her life, I do think she could have killed him on her own.
Oh yeah. It's one of those things that you're like, I mean, and once you have almost, you know, just like a fatal hit, it's going to knock him down enough anyway that you could continue on. But like, that's a lot of you. So they're not sure, but like people in town, of course, like everyone's freaking out and they feel violated because this is their, you know, their magical town and whatever.
But I mean, the thing is like when you were first talking about the town, I thought this was going to be like some stranger rolling in or something, or like multi-murder type thing. This
trying
is a domestic
to, like, a robbery like, gone wrong type situation.
Like this is one way or another, whether her story is true or not, like this is a familiar, like this shit happens everywhere.
Yes, often too. Yeah. And that's why, and it's like, it's hard because I'm like, I don't want to talk about Bob at all. Like, I'm pissed at him if he did all this to her and he really was that degrading, but then we're like, was he really?
But was
I
he?
Mean,
this is
yes,
a tough case.
It is. I was really torn on it. Especially, well, I'll tell you, okay, we'll just go on and then we can discuss our thoughts at the end because I was curious what your thoughts were on it too. So November 30th of 2004, the trial actually starts, and her defense team, you know, they say that it was years of abuse that led up to this and that she killed him in self-defense. And her son, Greg, actually testified on her behalf. He said that he was scared that his dad was going to kill her one day based on all that. Co-workers of Nancy said that they had seen her come to work with bruises and a black eye. So she had gone to the police twice, but ended up not filing a report. And I don't know why not. Well, I mean, we know probably why. And especially in that kind of a town with the money.
I was saying that kind of a town, police could have talked her out of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is going to ruin his reputation and yours, and your whole life will change. And I'm sure. But that should back up something, at least, showing, you know. So then prosecution, though, they actually have Jeff, the oldest son, testify on their behalf, of course. And he defends his dad and said his dad never did anything to his mom. So, like, they're like, this doesn't really help at all because their testimonies just are opposite. So, okay. So kind of like a Hail Mary, they call, the defense calls Nancy to testify. So she said that she literally has no recollection of the actual event happening. She said, I mean, during her testimony, she cries a lot. And she said that when they were arguing that morning, he said, I should have put down the exact quote. I have some of it, but she said that he was saying, if you think I'm going to let a fucking piece of shit like you take half of what I have, you're wrong. And so she said, that's kind of how that escalated. And that sounds like fair based on the situation of the money and whatnot. She said that he basically just told her what he would do to her and if she left him, and it would not be good. So, of course, the prosecution says, okay, like, we don't believe you because if you were abused, why didn't you ever file reports and go to the police more and this and that, which we know that that's the shittiest thing that they can do.
Right.
I get it. They're trying to win their side, but like, it's sad because it's like, yeah, but you know how battered women. Like,
yeah,
there's a trend there, and we know why, because of stuff like this. This is why. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they also say, though, that Bob didn't have defense wounds, which is interesting, but they said he would have had marks all over his hands and stuff, which he didn't. But I'm like, yeah, even if it wasn't self-defense, well, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm like, in my mind, I feel like you should be able to kill someone who abuses you. Like, you shouldn't, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a terrible thing, but yeah. I don't know. I'm so,
it's like the one case you did with the lady who kept him in her house, like in her bedroom.
Yes. Yes.
And everyone knew he was abusing her. And I'm like,
so they just like look the other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, it's kind of like that.
But this is difficult when you have one son saying it was and one son saying it's not. But if you have people who are like, no, we saw her with bruises. But then you're also like, if you saw her with a black eye, why the fuck didn't you like do
step
something?
Up, do something. Yes, I agree. And so I find that weird too. And I'm like, you know, and if she wouldn't have changed her story so many times, like, I don't know if she really thought she was going to get away with it. I don't know what she was planning to actually do with his body. Like, you know, I don't know. But it seems planned out, but it also doesn't seem planned out. And the fact that she just kept them in the trunk and stuff, like, that's something, if you're planning a murder, you generally have some sort of a plan of what you're going to do with it. I don't know. I guess I've never planned a murder, so I'm not quite sure. But I wouldn't do that if I was going to. So she is, like, remorseful, though, but, like, she... when she testifies, but she's just like, I literally thought I was going to die. You know, that was her defense. So, the jury deliberates for only 6 hours, and they, on December 13th, 2004, they find her guilty of first degree murder. And so she's sentenced to life without parole. So it gets really messy with all these appeals. I got really confused even reading about it, because the initial conviction was overturned and they reduced it to second degree murder, saying that there was a lack of evidence to support the first degree murder charge. But then this decision is later overturned back to first degree.
Oh my gosh.
So she fought for a new trial. And in 2010, her conviction was overturned on the basis that her defense attorneys were not able to develop their theory of battered woman syndrome. So a new trial gets ordered. And then in 2011, another federal judge orders a stay of proceedings. And it's announced that a 3-judge panel denied her motion for a new trial, citing that battered spouse syndrome is not a defense itself under Michigan law. Messy much? Like,
yeah.
I was so confused even reading it all. So Nancy's 71 as of now, and she's currently serving her sentence in Women's Huron Valley Complex in Michigan. So since she's been in prison, she has spoken out and said that she does feel remorse and torment every day. She said, her direct quote, "For 30 years of marriage, I was never confrontational. I never defended myself. I had no malice in my heart. Never did I do anything to hurt Bob. I always took the high road and I acted with dignity. I took it in the shin. That's why I'm so tormented, why I feel so brokenhearted. I went from not defending myself to doing this, and now he's dead." Which I can see where she's coming from, maybe in the sense of like, yeah, you put up with it so long and then you finally just snapped though. But it's, I don't know. I was like, well, the fact that she has remorse maybe is a good thing. Because then I read another place where she said, like, this was my husband, my love of my life for 32 years. And I just brutally killed him. But he was going to kill me if not. And so she said, it sounds like just kind of a heartbroken type situation in that sense.
Yeah.
But it was super interesting because then I found another article. So the judge that originally sentenced her, Jack McDonald, he's actually now like one of her biggest allies. He says he regrets that. And he said he doesn't think he had the whole story with the abuse case. I don't know. But he said that this case, he's never had like remorse over what he's sentenced in the past, but something about this one has just stuck with him. And he thinks that he gave her a harsher punishment than she should have had. And he's like currently still working on trying to like change that, which I thought was wild because you never hear about that.
Wow. That makes me wonder what other information he got.
Yes.
To make him feel that way.
Right. Because he's like, usually he does not think twice about it and he's confident with his like decision. Well,
and especially if they were trying to get her a new trial on the basis that like her defense didn't do enough to prove the battered spouse syndrome. Like, I don't know. That's so tough. This is such a tough situation, especially because my whole thing with the boys is like, and I'm not saying anything against Jeff, the older son, by any means. I don't want this. But, like, in situations like that, like, if his father was abusive, one, it's a question of, was he in denial about it? Or was he protecting him? Or is he kind of like his father?
I know. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, does he have the same qualities as his father where he does think less of women and
hopefully I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna say that Bob was an abuser or wasn't an abuser, that she murdered him first degree. That there are tricky situations. The thing that looks real bad for her is the axe.
Yeah, the Home Depot trip, like,
yeah, the stuff afterwards makes sense,
right? Yes, like you're obviously still, going like, to clean it up, but it's so interesting because I just finished watching Love and Death, which is the Candy Montgomery story. Yeah. So I know we've talked about the Hulu one. I did like the HBO one better. First of all, it shows a lot more gore and I'm gross, and not that I like gore, but like, I just like to see the crime. I need to know the things, the details. And
I
mean,
I just love Elizabeth Olsen more. That's the only reason, but
yeah, I like her too. And I love Lily Raby. Is that, I don't know if that's how you say her last name. She plays what's her name? Betty? Yeah. Betty.
Oh, yeah.
The victim in the show.
Yeah.
And it was so ironic when I found this case, because I had just finished watching that. And it's a similar situation in the sense of like her doing this crime, but not really recalling doing it. It was just to the point where like she's just going through the motions because this person was trying to hurt her or whatever way you see it. But like, and she just zoned out, you know, completely. And it's like, yeah. And they hypnotize her and stuff, and they talk to her about it. And like, she only remembers certain things of it. And that's exactly what Nancy says about that case. Like, so it was very interesting, and it was ironic that it was a hatchet and that's an axe and candy. Yeah. And like, I was like, I gotta do this case. So,
well, I mean, that's so, because the thing is like, a lot of times people will use that. I mean, even last week when I did the, you know, bone breaker, he said he supposedly always blacked out during the tour. I don't think he did. Yeah. If Nancy's telling the truth, I see it. Traumatic events, our brains will try to protect us from.
Yeah.
Like, I still, to this day, my grandpa passed away when I was 10. I still have chunks of the day of his funeral missing, because that was just such a hard thing for me. Yeah. I was so close to him.
It's like your mind wants to protect you, I think, from some of those things.
Yeah. So, that's such a tough situation to know. Like, this is such a tough case to... There is no like definitive like, oh yeah, she for sure did this as a crime of passion because he was going to leave her, or she was 100% a battered woman. And that's the other thing with some of these small towns though too, is like a lot of people will be like, well, they know shit's going on, like, well, it's not our business.
Yeah.
You know, and
look the other way. It could have been prevented maybe, but
yeah.
I don't know. It was a weird one. It was like, I feel very torn. Like, I feel very like, she's the victim. She was treated like crap her whole life and snapped. But then you're like, is that really what happened?
But
and then this guy, like, was it just this poor guy? Like, I mean, they do have the proof that they were fighting. They have these post-its and all that. So like, okay, that's fair. But we don't know how far it went, you know? Like, but I did, of course, want to include, speaking of domestic violence, I have the hotline numbers and all that I wanted to add, which we'll put in the show notes too. But the number for that is 800-799-7233, or you can text START, all caps, to 88788. So regardless, even if this case is not necessarily a domestic violence situation, we don't know. And I'm not one to rule it out. So I don't know. But it was weird. And it is weird when you find cases of women killing people, because like, you don't hear them as often, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it was funny with,
it's usually if women are killing, it's children.
Yeah. It's usually, something worse and not worse, but you
I
know
mean,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And It was funny because the Kelly Cochran case was also Michigan. I did not realize. Yep. And so I was like, geez, Michigan, you got them angry ladies.
Mm-hmm. But I think she went between Michigan and Minnesota.
I think so too, because I think you did it under Minnesota. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I think I finally figured it out. Cause when I looked to see when you had done Michigan, I was like, no, I don't think she did, you know? And so, yeah.
Okay, no, I think I did it under Minnesota because that's where she was eventually caught.
Yeah.
Because that's where she killed her husband.
Yeah.
That was one that she could have gotten away with it, but she So yeah, that's such a difficult case. And you're like, either way, these two, because then you got to think, what are these two brothers' relationships like now?
I know.
Because you have one who was on dad's side and dad's now dead. And you have one who was on mom's side and mom is now, like, he can still at least go visit her and stuff. But then, like,
you've lost both parents.
And then you've potentially lost a sibling. I hope at the very least the brothers have been able to reconcile.
I read where she had said that she hopes that she does get out so she can at least meet her grandchildren. So I don't know how many of them or what the situation is there. But she does not look like the type you would ever suspect to chop up her husband. But I was like, dang, a hatchet and then a knife. Like,
well, and my thing is that they said he had no defense wounds. Depending on where that first blow struck,
it could have knocked him down right away.
Yeah. Like, he could have been out for the count right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I'm not sure on that, but that was a wild one. And I'm surprised that one wasn't, I mean, maybe it was more in the news there, but I was kind of surprised we didn't hear about that one more. Just the fact of them being these rich white people and, so you know, suburbia and all that. But, so that's that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. I don't have anything to go off after that. I already watched my show I told you about.
So is that you just watched Love and Death?
Y'all, it was very, very good. I enjoyed it a lot. So
I've heard good things about it.
It was good.
My plan is to try to watch when the kids go back to school. I didn't pick up hours at work for August. So my plan is to try to binge a few shows. I need to catch up. My reading rival is ahead of me by like 10 books. So I've got to catch up.
You'll be there soon. You know,
I will be. But I did go see the Barbie movie.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
I did too. It was a lot more serious than I expected, but I liked it. I loved it.
I thought it was very well done. I loved all of the messages.
There was a lot of fun humor in it, but I like that sweet side of it. And it was really good.
It was. I was going to go see Oppenheimer on Saturday, but then my sister and I found out last minute about Gothicon out at Haunted Hollows. So we went there.
Oh, that's fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Crystals and witchy shit. Oh, and
there you go, right down your alley then. Yeah.
You know, and they had like trapeze artists and bands and food. They had fried cheesecake and I wanted so badly to get it, but it was so hot and muggy that I'm like, it sounds good, but I know if I take one bite, I'm going to want to throw up because of how hot it is outside.
Like, it's not appealing in that heat.
No.
But yum. That sounds amazing. No,
but it sounded amazing and I wanted it so bad.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
I did also, I can't remember if this was last week that I meant, did I mention What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, that sounds familiar to me. Yeah.
I won't bring it up. Yes, I did. You're right.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I haven't watched more of it just yet, but I have finished several books. So I finished The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston. That was the most adorable book ever. Woman is left a magical apartment by her aunt, and it'll randomly send you back 7 years in time, and she meets a guy. And it's like her coming with her life. Like, oh my God. It is adorable. She's also the one who wrote that Dead Romantics one where the chick could see ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them, you're like, okay, these are going to be cutesy little things, right? But she has such poignant, like, messages in them with, like, grief and all that shit. That's good.
That's always good when there's more to it. Like,
yes.
Than just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So then I dove into the dark romance genre. I read Haunting Adeline.
Okay.
lots of spice.
Oh.
So there are
Hoover book. Okay.
The trigger warnings.
Yeah.
This one for me, I could get behind some of the stuff, but like there was some non-consent stuff happening that I couldn't get behind, so I was like, yeah. I don't know that I'll read the second one. Then I read Fire of the Fox, which was the most cute thing ever. We have Land Fae and Water Fae, and it was a little predictable, but I still didn't hate it. I finished it, and I immediately went to Kindle Unlimited to read book two, which was Whispers Up the Water. Now I'm impatiently waiting for book three, but it's a cute, fun little fantasy series. 18-year-old girl going to college, gets wrapped up in Land Fae, all sorts of stuff. Oh, there's a war between Land Fae and Water Fae. Yeah, the main love interest is a fox shifter.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably great for you. That sounds like a lovely book you would like.
I did. I read it in a day.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Then I finished listening to For the Throne, which was the second book to For the Wolf, which was like the Red Riding Hood retelling I kind of talked about before. This was a good one. I enjoyed it at first. I was like, this is just like the first book, but a different sister, and we've changed some things. But as it went on, I'm glad I stuck with it. It got better.
Better, good.
Yeah. And then lastly, yesterday I finished Hooked, which is part of the Never After series.
Oh, okay.
This one you might be more into, Shannon. It's not fantasy. It is, again, dark romance. Not as dark as like Haunting Adeline. But it's definitely our main guy is not a good guy. Like, this is the villain gets the girl story.
Oh.
And it's kind of Peter Pan retelling.
Yeah.
But, like, not, but, like, oh, it was good. Like, Hook is not a good guy, but I love the way he treats Wendy.
Yeah.
So, that was a fun one. I did enjoy that one. So, I guess there's, like, six books in that series. The next one's Scarred, which is apparently, like, a Lion King-esque retelling, but people are humans and stuff still, so. And they're not all tied together. So, yeah, that's what I've...
Well, look at you. You just rolled through them. Good for you. I feel like such a lame loser when I have done nothing productive, so, you know.
I mean, you're a single mom who's been taking care of your daughter and getting your shit done, so.
Well, thanks. Well, there you go. We'll go with that, Cassie. Thanks. I mean, if that was the case, but okay, cool. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add, but message us. I know we talked about that a little bit in the beginning. Rate and review, please. That helps us out a ton.
Or follow, subscribe, like, share, all those things wherever you listen.
All the things. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. But
all of our places are in our show notes. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Listen, Twitter's still there, or X, or whatever the hell it's called now. But I haven't updated that in months.
Nobody cares about that anymore.
No.
I feel like old news.
Yeah. Canceled. But we have our website and stuff, too. So,
yeah. Check us out.
Heck yeah. So, until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.